Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. On this week's program, I'd like to look at the ethical, biblical, moral issue of police using deadly force in arresting felons or suspected felons. Opposition to law enforcement's use of force is driving many of these protests and riots across the country, or at least that's becoming the pretext for many of these protests and riots. And so the ethical question of the use of deadly force needs to be answered and addressed. If Satan's going to get a foothold in this country and cause mayhem, it's going to be by getting people to stay in the dark concerning the law of God and the good reasons for it. Now, we know that addressing the efficacy and the morality of using force is not going to stop these riots. It's not as if these rioters, once they hear what the Bible has to say about the state's use of the sword in Romans chapter 13, they're going to say, wow, I just never knew that. Thank you for telling me that. We're going to stop these riots right away. No, these riots are not simply people aggrieved by police misconduct. It's much more. They are promoting lawlessness. They have a hatred of accountability, hatred toward righteousness. And these people want to do what's right in their own eyes. As in the final verse in the book of Judges, Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. These rioters are not interested in submitting themselves to the law of God. So how do we know that this is the right characterization of these rioters? Well, because these people are not simply calling for a change in police procedures, but they're calling for the elimination and the defunding of police. By their demands and by their rhetoric, we know this is about despising authority. It's a desire to get rid of authority so they can live lawless lives. They want their drug dealing, their immorality, their gangs, their sex trafficking, their thefts. They don't want the police in their neighborhood, just like the criminal doesn't want the police to show up. And it's as simple as that. And the middle class suburbanites who are showing up at these protests thinking that this is simply about stopping bad police behavior are naive. In a recent Gallup poll, blacks more than any other group want more police, not less. 81% want police to spend the same amount of time or more time in their neighborhoods. 81%. You can't get 81% of people to agree about anything, but they'll agree about this. So these protesters against the police don't represent the black community. They represent the Marxists and the radical left who are using the race card and the black community to push their agenda to overthrow the system. I was speaking with a pastor friend who was with his children at a Little League game with minorities in the inner city. And there was this ice cream truck off to the side, and he said, great, let's go get some ice cream for the kids. But the people there said, no, that truck doesn't sell ice cream. So I looked this up, and apparently this is a big thing in the inner cities. Ice cream trucks selling drugs. So wake up. You know, these riots are not about police brutality. They're about getting rid of the police. Getting rid of the police who are getting in the way of a criminal lifestyle. You know, these people want almost everything we consider crimes to be legalized. They want to be left alone in their sin. You know, it's not about police brutality, but wanting freedom from arrest, prosecution, and jail. Now, among our political leaders, they too have nefarious motives for placating these riots. The black senator from South Carolina, Tim Scott, introduced a bill in the Senate to curb police misconduct, the Justice Bill. And so this bill would mandate that there would be a nationwide database to track instances of force used by police so there could be accurate data to, you know, track in this regard. Also, it would ban the use of chokeholds, and the use of no-knock warrants would be curtailed. But the Democrats refused to pass this bill. even though Senator Scott invited the Democrats to discuss and add whatever amendments they saw necessary. But the Democrats were not interested in compromise and walked away from the table. Why? For political purposes, they do not want police reform this year. They want to keep this issue going. Angus King, a Democratic senator from Maine who wanted to advance Scott's bill, explained that the Democrats do not want to pass the Republican bill because it would end the discussion on this issue. And the Democrats don't want the controversy over the police reform over before this election. They want it to be a major issue. So at issue here is a whole lot more than just what is the right thing for police to do when arresting people. Here's an article from PJ Media. Lancaster riots prove the nationwide unrest isn't about police brutality. You know the story. The recent police shooting in Lancaster where the suspect was wielding a huge knife coming after a lone police officer. The police officer did not engage in any provocation. The assailant, Ricardo Munoz, was holding a woman hostage, and then he runs out of the home, goes after the police officer with a knife. The officer had no choice but to pull his weapon and shoot. The police even immediately released the body cam video so that no false narrative of police brutality would result in riots. But even in this case, where the officer was clearly justified, there were riots. So Rick Moran writes in PJ Media, there is a gigantic, deadly game of let's pretend going on in America. Politicians, the media, and activists are all pretending that the violence, the arsons, the beatings, the mayhem in our cities actually have a purpose. They pretend that the mostly peaceful protests are only being made violent by the mere presence of police officers. The media pretends that the rioters are engaged or fed up with oppression and systematic racism, so that the chaos and the thuggery is a completely normal response to the problem. Do these people really believe the riots are all about George Floyd? Do they really think all police are racist and out to kill black people? Do they really think the rioters give a hoot about systematic racism? When leftists are not busy denying that the rioters are using the innocent peaceful protests as a cover to loot and burn, they are pretending the problem they want to address is far worse than it actually is. In fact, a gross exaggeration of the problems of racism, police brutality, and inequality is absolutely necessary to justify the violence. And if they can stick it to Donald Trump while doing it, that's a bonus. Unquote, Rick Moran. So that's an interesting perspective. These people are playing let's pretend. They're telling the general public these riots are about stopping police brutality, but insiders all know it's about much more than that. Evil is always accompanied by lies. Always. So I just want to make it clear from the outset that although I'm trying to answer this question about what the Bible has to say about the police's use of force, I'm not fooled by the deceptive narrative. I know the unrest in our country is not about police brutality. That's the pretext. These riots are about lawlessness and a hatred of righteousness. Now, of course, there are some evangelical leaders and church-going suburbanite families who are living in their ivory towers. They're listening to the left and to CNN, and they have been duped into believing that these riots are a crusade for justice. And for them, I can only say, start reading your Bible and get a better understanding of evil and the deception of evil. And look at what's happening in the streets. Jeremiah chapter 7. I mean, a whole other God and Country program could be done here in regard to the deceptive power of evil. Romans chapter 16, verse 18. Deceiving the minds of the innocent. But for today's program, let's deal with the moral question itself. What is the biblical proper use of police force? I've read these stories myself about these arrests resulting in the death of suspects. And I too wonder, did the police have to use deadly force? Could the police have just used a taser or shot the suspect below the waist? I mean, yes, police are taught to go for the easiest shot, the center, but oftentimes the police have the upper hand. They are trained in marksmanship. They often wear body armor. Yes, it's a greater risk not to shoot to kill, but given the advantages that the police have, maybe the police should take that extra risk in some cases. I mean, did the police officers have to shoot Jason Blake 7 times in the back? Maybe Blake might have gone for a gun in the car. But even then, even with just 2 bullets in his back, the police officer standing over him, Blake didn't have a chance. Yes, Blake had a knife. He resisted arrest by fighting the police. But there doesn't have to be capital punishment on the street for resisting arrest or drug possession or theft. I've talked with, you know, many gun owners who have told me that if I ever catch an intruder on my property or in my house, I'm going to shoot them. And I had to explain to them that the Bible doesn't allow for capital punishment for trespass or theft. We need to respect life. And, you know, there are police officers who in a moment of crisis make a wrong decision. We can understand that. There are some trigger finger cops. And there are some officers who don't have much respect for life. They're on a power trip. Surprise, surprise. There are unsaved, unregenerate police officers in this world. And we should actually be surprised that the problem with police brutality is not worse than it is. In fact, it's a very, very minor problem given all the crime in America. The police are not the problem. The crime is the problem. Now, as a country, we can have a debate about police procedure. I mean, the police have this debate themselves. They know certain procedures already in the law. The police know they can be prosecuted when they pull a gun out. But these riots are not about this debate, nor are they a way to solve this problem if it exists. These riots are about getting rid of the police and promoting the lie that there is an epidemic in our country of police out to kill black people. As always, when you see violence, you can be sure it's based upon some sort of lie. Even from the ACLU website, quote, "Black people are being murdered and brutalized by police with near immunity. Act now to end police brutality, demand racial justice, and defend our right to protest. Your donation will fuel our legal battle and recent advocacy efforts." Yet there's been article after article, study after study, refuting this myth that there is this epidemic of fatal police shootings against unarmed black Americans. But people believe the lie because they listen to the false narrative being pushed by certain radical politicians and by the media. In 2019, last year, there were 14 unarmed black victims of police and 25 unarmed white victims of police. Only 39. And that is amazing given the fact that there are 350 million people in America. And if you look at those 39 cases where unarmed people were shot by the police, it was because it was a case of a dangerous suspect fighting or fleeing from the police. Only in one case was there a mistaken identity. And the number of unarmed blacks shot by police is down 63% from 2015, when the database began. Police are becoming less aggressive, not more. And police are not targeting people based on the color of their skin. Almost all 911 violent crime calls come from minority communities in the inner city. From the New York Daily News, 96% of those being shot by the public are black or Hispanic. And 97% of all shootings, the trigger was pulled by other blacks and Hispanics. You know, police are tasked with stopping crime, so they go where the crime is. Quote, "A review of the statistics contained in the report crime enforcement activity in New York City shows that minority group members also represent 98% of murder victims and 86% of murder suspects. There are similar numbers for felony assaults. 81% of victims are minorities, and as are 88% of the suspects. So this whole narrative that there's an epidemic of racism causing police to kill black people is a racist lie. Police are just responding to where the 911 calls are coming from. But in order to get us to think about this whole issue of the police using deadly force, let's look at one example, the case of Antoine Rose Jr. Antoine Rose was a 17-year-old African-American who was fatally shot by police in Pittsburgh in June of 2018. The police received a call that there had been a drive-by shooting. The police officer pulled over a car that fit the description. In the car were three occupants. The police officer ordered the driver out of the car and was handcuffing him when the other two men ran from the car, Hester and Antoine Rose. The police officer told them to stop and then fired three shots, killing Antoine. Hester escaped but was later found. When the police officer was shooting, one of the bystanders was heard saying, "Why are they shooting at him? All they did was run. Why are they shooting?" So the trial took place in March of 2019, and the police officer was found not guilty because Antoine Rose did commit the drive-by shooting. He had a 9mm gun by his car seat. He had a 9mm cartridge in his pocket, and he had gunpowder on his hands. Marquise Pouncey, a football player for the Pittsburgh Steelers, had the name Antoine Rose on his helmet to memorialize him as a victim of police brutality. But this week, once Pouncey was told the details, he took Antoine Rose's name off of his helmet. Quote from Pouncey, "I want to make sure police understand I inadvertently supported a cause of which I did not fully comprehend the entire background of the case," Pouncey said Thursday on his verified Instagram account. "I take responsibility for not doing more investigating into something that is sensitive to the community and the Rose family." You see, according to the law, police have the authority to use deadly force to stop a suspected felon from resisting arrest, to protect the public from violent people escaping. But police do not have the right to use deadly force to stop people who commit misdemeanors. But they do have the right against those who commit crimes that are deemed felonies, from the Latin, evildoers. And if the police don't have the right to use deadly force to stop suspected felons, it would remove from police all authority, all power. I mean, once it's known that police cannot pull their guns out and threaten deadly force, every criminal would simply run away from the police or even fight the police. One thing is for sure, the basic ethic of police being able to use appropriate deadly force has to be maintained. But that is what is being refuted by these rioters. Notice the different emphasis in the political debate. On the left, we're hearing this narrative that there is an epidemic of police brutality and the police need to be defunded. The Seattle City Council is overruling the mayor and cutting funding to the police because the leftists on this city council, according to their worldview, their narrative, they believe that the main problem in society is the police, the enforcement of law, the law itself, rather than the criminal. Kamala Harris was speaking on the subject, and in her worldview, we can reduce crime and dysfunction in our inner cities by reducing funding for the police and using that money for social services and education. President Trump, on the other hand, takes a conservative view. Notice the emphasis the president made in his ABC town hall meeting with Stephanopoulos last week. When asked about this issue, the president said, "Well, I think they were tragic events. And I do feel that we have to also take into consideration that if you look at our police, they do a phenomenal job. You'll have people choke, make mistakes, and that happens. It happens where they have to make a fast decision and some bad things happen. You also have bad apples, but you have 99% great people. I know the police force very well, and they're great people. And I will say this, if you're going to stop crime, we have to give the respect back to the police that they deserve. Look at New York. New York was a very safe city. Rudy Giuliani did a fantastic job. The city was safe. And then all of a sudden, we have a mayor who starts cutting the police force, and crime is up 100%, 150%. I saw one form of crime up 300%. So I think it's very important, whether you talk Seattle, where they have a very good police force, but they're not allowed to do their jobs, you have to allow the police to do their job. I agree with you. Those events are terrible, but we have to allow the police to do their job. Otherwise, crime is going to soar. We have to give the police the respect they deserve. We have to give them their mojo. We have to let them protect us. So who's right? What is the right emphasis? Supporting the police, giving them the right to use deadly force, the Rudy Giuliani approach to clean up the city by increasing the policing and the penalty for crime? Or is the solution less police, less force? And how you answer that question is based on your understanding of man and sin, actually your theological worldview. So in the time we have, let's look at what the Bible has to say. There are many Old Testament examples of the state using force against criminals. But let's begin with the classic New Testament text, Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, 1. Every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it's a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Those verses are quoted so often, and they ought to be, because in just one paragraph, we get so many answers to so many questions. Verse 1, that government and the force of the state is not evil, it's established by God. Verse 2, that those who oppose the force of the state deserve condemnation. Verse 3, you don't want to be shot by the police, you don't want to be wrongly profiled, then do what's good, and you'll have no problems with the police. And that's what old-timers used to say. Behave right, dress right, act right, speak right, be in good places, and you won't have any problems. You won't be a suspect. But now that's called victim shaming. George Floyd had enough fentanyl in his body to be fatal. So now we have a police officer who uses excessive force, but we have also contributory negligence on the part of George Floyd. At the very least, both men are responsible for his death. But if your worldview is that drugs are no big deal and that the police are bad, then George Floyd becomes an innocent victim. The story becomes he would not be dead if it weren't for the police officer. The fact that he wouldn't be dead if it wasn't for his own behavior doesn't matter anymore. The commentator Matt Walsh listed 5 guaranteed ways not to die at the hands of the police. And this is good. Number 1, avoid committing crimes. Number 2, if you're going to commit a crime, avoid doing them while you're high on illegal drugs. Number 3, avoid assaulting the police. Number 4, avoid pulling weapons on the police. Number 5, avoid resisting arrest. If you do those 5 things, you will have an almost 100% chance of not being killed by the police. But lawless people will not do those 5 things. They instead want to remove authority from the police. For them, the problem is the law, not them. Amos chapter 5, verse 10. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks in integrity. Or Psalm 50, verse 18. When you see a thief, you're pleased with him. But the attitude of the righteous, even the attitude of the righteous born-again people in minority communities, is that they appreciate the presence of the police. Psalm 141, verse 5, "Let the righteous man smite me in kindness and reprove me. It's oil upon my head. Do not let my head refuse it." Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, "Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you." Well, back to Romans chapter 13, verse 4. Be afraid. People need to fear the police. The fear of law enforcement is a good thing. They're not supposed to be your buddy-buddy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. "Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to kings, as the one in authority." And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you're blessed. And do not fear their intimidations, and do not be troubled." 1 Peter 3:13, "Who is to harm you if you do good," is identical to the point in Romans 13:3. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good and you'll have praise from the same. But our culture has fallen so far from thinking righteously and biblically that the Apostle Peter would be excoriated today as being a victim-shaming, white supremacist, racist if he were to say those things today. And also, in verse 4, it says they do not bear the sword in vain. In other words, there is a divine purpose, a divine permission for the state to use a sword. The magistrates have the right of capital punishment, but also the right to use deadly force against criminals in arrests. The police are called to be an avenger. As in the Old Testament law, refers to those who are called the avengers of blood. Think about this. Jesus did not resist arrest. Now, Peter in his foolishness tried to resist arrest, but Jesus told Peter to put away the sword. And even though Jesus was arrested unjustly, he still submitted to the authorities ordained by God. And Jesus is our example of how the law is to work and how we're to respond. Mark 13, when we're arrested, literally in the Greek, when they grab hold of us. Here's some other texts about the need for the sword of the state. Otherwise, crime and evil will proliferate. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. "Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil." Proverbs chapter 20, verse 8. "A king who sits on the throne of justice dispenses all evil with his eyes." Proverbs 20:26, "A wise king winnows the wicked and drives the threshing wheel over them." So the police are supposed to make the lives of criminals miserable. And yes, we should care about the God-given human rights of even the criminal, but woe to those who applaud the criminal and demoralize law enforcement. Jeremiah 23:14, "They strengthen the hands of evildoers." Ezekiel 13:22, "Because you disheartened the righteous with falsehood, when I didn't cause him grief, but you have encouraged the wicked not to turn from his wicked way and preserve his life." Or Proverbs 17:15, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike, are an abomination to the Lord." When the hands of the police are tied, and when the police are considered bad guys, crime becomes rampant and good people suffer. And yes, aggressive policing may be an inconvenience and a trouble for good people who may be wrongly accused or detained, but that's a price we all pay because there's more evil in our society. And the police cannot read people's minds to know who is who. Look what's happened now that police are being defunded. Crime is up in New York City and in all of these leftist cities that have taken funds away from the police to satisfy the narrative of the riots. Residents are fearful. Last week in Portland, Antifa rioters broke into Starbucks and Chipotle. On Saturday night, an Antifa mob of about 200 people marched in Portland, smashing windows at a Starbucks and a Chipotle forcing a truck driver to make a Black Power salute, and at one point burning a thin blue line flag chanting "Blue Lives Splatter." "F you pigs," one rioter shouted as a group of rioters lit the flag on fire. Not a single arrest was made by the Portland police. And this is the policy of appeasement, which always ends poorly because hell is never satisfied. Proverbs 27:20. Now, as far as other biblical texts concerning the deadly use of force by police, in the Old Testament, there is the right of self-defense against evildoers, both the right of the police and citizens. I don't even have time to go into all of those verses, but we've got examples like the book of Esther, where the Jews defended themselves against their enemies. Nehemiah chapter 4, "I stationed the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." Or 1 Samuel 25, David used deadly force to get the people and the things back that were stolen from him. Then, of course, there's also the state's right to use the sword, capital punishment against murderers. The police have the right to shoot those who are threatening people's lives, even before the assailant pulls the trigger. And under the Old Testament law, kidnapping, holding people against their will, calls for the death penalty. Exodus chapter 21, verse 16. "Therefore, according to the law of God, armed robbery or threatening someone with a knife calls for the death penalty because it is a threat to take away a person's life." In Exodus 22, if a thief breaks into someone's home at night, the owner has the right to kill that person. Yes, even for theft, because the owner doesn't know the thief's intent. The benefit of the doubt goes to the homeowner and to the police for that matter. The text goes on to explain that if the theft is during the daytime, then the homeowner cannot kill the thief unless the intruder has a weapon, because it's assumed that during the day, the homeowner could then see if the intruder had a weapon. And there's no death penalty for just stealing. Now, as far as what the Bible says about the police using deadly force during an arrest, there is no direct passage that I could find, except just general principles drawn from all of these texts about the authority of the magistrates to use the sword. But here's an interesting text, Numbers chapter 35, verse 19. "The blood avenger, the law enforcer, himself shall put the murderer to death. He shall put him to death when he meets him." Or 2 Kings chapter 11, "Then you shall surround the king, each with his weapon in his hand, and whoever comes within the rank shall be put to death. And be with the king when he goes out and when he comes in." And beyond this, a biblical case could also be made for the state actually having the right to shoot and kill offenders for any crime during times of mayhem or social uprising during times of martial law. John Calvin, in his Discourse on Civil Government in the Institutes of the Christian Religion, takes the Protestant position that the exact penalties within the law of Moses do not need to be followed by all the nations, since the law was only given to Israel, but that any penalty passed by the state is valid before God as long as it's keeping with the intent of stopping evil. Calvin writes that in some nations, given an increase in certain crimes and lawlessness, harsher penalties are just. Quote, "There may be a country which, if murder was not visited with fearful punishments, the country would instantaneously become a prey to robbery and slaughter. There may be an age requiring that the severity of punishments should be increased. If the state is in a troubled condition, those things from which disturbances usually arise must be corrected by new law." So in view of that, three cheers for the judge in Lancaster setting $1 million bail for those who, you know, damaged and rioted in the riots in Lancaster. The liberal left said this was unjust, but the higher bail was actually necessary to keep these suspects from getting out, like in other cities, and rioting again. And three cheers to the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, proposing felony charges for rioters and for Bill Barr defunding and labeling certain cities as anarchist cities. Remember Proverbs chapter 20, verse 26. A wise king winnows the wicked and drives a threshing wheel over them, especially in times of emergency, when evil people feel empowered to do evil. But Calvin also ends this section in this chapter on civil government with this statement. The magistrate must guard against both extremes. He must neither by excessive severity rather wound than cure, nor by a superstitious affectation of clemency fall into the most cruel inhumanity by giving way to soft and dissolute indulgence to the destruction of many. It is well said by one under the Emperor Nerva, it is indeed a bad thing to live under a prince with whom nothing is lawful, but it's much worse to live under one with whom all things are lawful. Well, there's always more to be said, but we have to end somewhere. To sum up, the way of the transgressor is hard. Woe to the wicked, it will go badly with him, Isaiah chapter 3. And our heart does grieve for these criminals when they reap what they have sown, whether in just measure or not in just measure. As the Lord said to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 18, do I have pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord? No, rather that he should turn from his wicked ways and live. Verse 23, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. And that's the real message that is being overlooked in all of the politics here. Stop sinning. Be saved from sin. Be saved from the wrath of God's avengers, but even more so, be saved from the wrath of God, the judge of all the earth. Fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. Fear the Lord. Two insurrectionists, two rioters were apprehended and sentenced to death beside Jesus. One mocked Jesus and died in his sin. The other said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Thank you for including God and country as just one small part in your discipleship in the Word. One way of keeping our minds focused on biblical truth and not all the noise from the media. Like, share, subscribe, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.